Turn to John chapter 17 if you're following along. John chapter 17, I want to read just the first three verses for this morning. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What I want to try to speak about this morning is knowing sender and sent. Yes, sir. Knowing sender and sent. I want to consider four unassailable facts from this text. There are many unassailable facts inferred from this text, but I don't want to deal with even with those. I want to deal with four unassailable facts that are directly stated in this text. Often when we say something, infer something, it can become quite subjective. But I want to speak about the objective truth based upon the literal words that are given in the text.
Yes, sir.
May it be that this morning God gives both me the enablement to speak these things and enable you to hear these things as they are declared in this text. Number one, four unassailable facts from this text. Number one, these are Christ's words.
Amen.
Simple enough, right? These are Christ's words. These words spake Jesus. And when he did it, he lifted his eyes up to heaven.
Yeah.
You remember I preached to you 2 weeks ago about the publican in the temple, he wouldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven.
That's right.
And rightfully so. But here is one who, when he spoke,
yes,
he had both right and might,
yes, sir,
to speak to God the Father.
Yes, sir.
And in doing so, still lift his eyes,
that's right,
up toward heaven.
Amen.
These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee.
Amen.
This is not a philosopher.
No.
He's not trying to gather in truth. He's not trying to get to truth through natural deduction. He's not a philosopher. This is him who is truth incarnate.
Yes, sir.
The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not some philosopher. But even more than that, this is not just some pastor. He was the pastor.
Yes, sir.
He is the pastor. But it's not just some pastor. He's not here trying to toe the denominational line.
That's right.
He's not trying to toe some set articles of faith. This is, again, truth embodied in a man. Divine truth.
Amen.
This is not some politician trying to win votes. He's not here speaking to the Father and in doing so speaking things in which he hopes that others will then follow him because of what he says. This is not the opinion nor the words of the populace. No one else has the right to speak these words. Not even the first three verses, just the ones I read to us this morning. That's number one. These are Christ's words. That's unassailable.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, then nothing else I have to say will be of any value to you this morning. God Almighty hasn't already convinced you of that. Or if he at least doesn't convince you of that in the future, then the rest of what I have to say will make no matter to you whatsoever. These are Christ's words.
Amen.
This is not going to be my opinion. These are Christ's words. Number two. Here's the second unassailable fact from the text. Christ placed himself as central to eternal life. Did he not? That's an unassailable fact. Now, there are two things here I want us to see. That is, wherein Christ, here in his words, placed himself as central to eternal life. One, he placed himself as central to eternal life as its sovereign source. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power, that means authority, that means both right and might.
Yes, sir.
It includes both. It's not one or the other. It's both right and might. Ability and right. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. And these words spake, it doesn't say the Lord, though he was the Lord. These words spake who?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Amen.
The man.
Yes, sir.
As thou hast given him power over all flesh.
Yeah.
For what reason? What's the primary reason here?
Yeah.
Here.
There you go.
That's what I want to deal with. What's here? What's the primary reason here that God the Father gave to this man, Jesus, power over all flesh? That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You see that? Now, who is the giver of eternal life?
Amen.
According to Christ's own words, he is.
That's right.
He is. Who does he give it to? All? No. No. He gives it to as many as, which stands in distinction to the fact that he still has power over all flesh.
That's right. Yes, sir.
But he has power over all flesh that he might sovereignly give eternal life to the ones God gave him.
Amen.
And it's to as many as.
Exactly.
The odd thing about, not odd, the corrupt thing about human depravity is we read that and our depravity says that's a limitation. When the glory ought to be, here's an exaltation.
Exactly.
Somebody is going to get eternal life because he has power over all flesh so that he might give it to as many as.
Yeah. Amen.
Somebody's going to get it.
That's right.
Huh? That's not a limit. That's a glory.
Exactly.
If we were based upon strict justice, none would ever have eternal life.
That's exactly right.
If it were based upon justice only, none would ever have.
You're right.
Not even one would ever have eternal life. He is its sovereign source. Now listen, God give us ears this morning. As thou hast given him, That's a person.
Yes, sir.
Not a place,
yeah.
Nor a thing.
That's right.
Now listen. He's the sovereign source of eternal life. Central to eternal life, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give. Do you see it? Does faith have power over all flesh? No. No, some men are without faith.
Yeah.
Does repentance have power over all flesh? No. Does church membership have power over all flesh? You see where I'm going? Now listen. Does the gospel preached have power over all flesh?
Sir.
No. But he does.
Amen.
He does.
Yeah.
And he, that same he, is the giver of eternal life to as many as God has given him.
Amen.
Therein assures eternal life.
That's it. Exactly.
He is its sovereign source. Did not God say to Israel in Ezekiel 16, you don't have to turn there, but you can later if you wish. Ezekiel 16, verse 1 through 6. When I passed by you, I saw you what? Polluted in your own blood. That means you were dead.
Yeah.
You were an infant that was born dead in blood and cast out into a field. And God said, when I passed by you, I said to you what? Live.
Yes.
And that dead infant did what? It lived.
Amen.
It lived. But now do turn to this one, Ezekiel chapter 37. According to the testimony of Ezekiel already, it's actually God speaking, but he's speaking through Ezekiel. He's already said, when I passed by you, I seen you polluted in your own blood, cast out into a field. Nobody swallowed you, cuddled you, nothing. You were dead. And I said to you, live. Now Ezekiel in chapter 37 stands before a huge valley full of dry bones. And they weren't just dry. He says they were very dry.
Amen.
We're not just depraved.
Yeah.
We are very depraved. We are absolutely, ultimately,
yeah,
unassailably, unequivocally, and unchangeably,
yeah,
depraved. Because even after God saves you, that which you are by nature still remains just exactly what it was by nature. He doesn't change it whatsoever. Does he? Mm-mm. The old man is absolutely distinct from the new man, according to New Testament theology.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
God says to Ezekiel, preach to these dry bones. And he does.
Yes, sir.
And things happen.
Yes, sir.
Bone comes together to the bone. Sinew comes to sinew. And here lays a great valley of that which was very dry bones, but now it's a bunch of what? Dead bodies.
That's right. Yeah.
Because Ezekiel says, even after I preach to them, and things happen, guess what?
Yeah.
They're still dead.
Amen.
There was no life in them.
Amen.
And then Ezekiel is told not to preach to the bones any longer.
Yeah.
But to prophesy to the wind.
Amen.
Cry out to the wind.
Yeah.
Blow. And what happens?
Yeah.
When the wind blew.
Yeah.
Life came into their nostrils, and there stood up. There stood up a great army. Do you see that? Oh, dare I say it? Say it I will. Preach the truth of the gospel. All you will and all you can. Because we're commanded to do so.
Yes, sir.
But until the life of God Himself in the person of the Son breathes spiritual life into a dead alien sinner, there will be no life.
Amen. That's exactly right.
And the argument is not, does a person have to hear the gospel first, during, or after? That's not the argument. This takes place during the preaching. Yeah. But it's not the preaching that made the initial difference. When it came to what? The one thing. Life.
Amen.
It's the wind. Now look. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And what God did for Israel, is doing for the remnant of Israel this day, and what God will do one day for the remnant of Israel is exactly what God does for each and every individual. At any time anyone's ever been saved. These are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Note order. The order has to be that way. Look, and ye shall... Is that next word? No.
Amen.
Do you see the order? Where did the knowledge come from? God. Knowledge comes only from truth. It don't just come out of thin air. A man can't call upon a person he doesn't believe in. He can't believe in someone he's never heard about. But what's got to come first? I got to call you out of your grave.
Amen.
Then, after I call you out of your grave, and I put you in the land, that's where you're supposed to be. I put you where you're supposed to be. Then you're going to know.
Amen.
That's what God says.
Yes, sir.
That ain't Walter's opinion. That wasn't Earl Cochran's opinion. That wasn't Sovereign Grace Chapel's opinion. That is what God Almighty declares from His Holy Word. And that's what Jesus Christ said.
Amen. That's it.
Now look. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened. He says it again. Anytime God repeats something, you better listen up.
That's right. That's exactly.
You're not going to know the only true and living God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent until God Almighty opens your grave. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I will place you in your own land. You're here this morning because God Almighty put you here in this place this morning.
Yes, sir.
Just like He put Israel in their in their land, and like He will one day again. Go ahead and mock and make fun, but that's what the book says. Why? Because look, and I will put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know. Then shall ye know, and not before, and not until. And then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And I've had people get mad at me. There was one preacher who said that Earl and I seriously distort the truth because we preach that very thing right there. And what gripped my soul, what vexed my soul, was this was a professed brother in Christ from Free Sovereign Grace.
You're right.
Now listen, I'll show you this after a while. He was not criticizing Earl or me. You know who he was criticizing?
Yes, sir.
Christ.
Yes, exactly.
God. His Word.
Yep.
Somebody said that's a serious charge. That ain't a charge. That's a fact.
Amen.
Christ placed Himself as central to eternal life because He's its sovereign source.
Yes, sir.
Here's the second part of this. Knowing Christ is eternal life's determined outcome.
Yes.
Look, and this is life eternal, when they know thee.
Yeah.
Is that what it says? Well, come on, is that what he said? And this is eternal life, that they might know thee. Do you see the words? They're quite clear. I did not do well in English at all, and still struggle with the English language. But that's clear enough. What must come first before you can know?
That's it.
Eternal life.
Amen.
And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. That means one is cause, the other is effect.
That's right. That's it.
I learned enough about English to know that much.
Yeah. Exactly.
And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. You see that?
Yeah.
Life given precedes knowing.
Yes,
spiritual conception precedes believing.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I'm not going to it, but 1 John 5:1, just that one. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is, that one little word, is,
that's
right, born of God.
Amen.
Not gets, not is immediately, is. And it's in the aorist. That means an act completed,
yes,
in the past.
Amen.
Go back and check it yourself.
Yes,
if you have the ability with books to do that. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you were already previously born of God. The new birth, in all that it is, comes first. But the new birth is not an end in itself. It's so that you might know God. I've been born again. Do you know the sent and the sender?
That's right.
Now the new birth must come first. A man cannot see except he be born from above. Can't even see.
That's it.
He can't enter either.
Yeah.
Unless he's born from above. He's got to be born again. Born from above first.
Yes.
Now I don't care if you've heard the gospel a million times. Until God Almighty births you spiritually.
Yeah.
Fathers, let me get more accurate. More particular, Penny, as I'm prone to do. Until he fathers you personally, you will not believe the gospel.
That's right.
Even if you're one of the elect. That's how depraved we are by nature.
Yes, sir.
That it takes an act of God himself,
yes, sir,
to turn that thing around.
Exactly.
1 John 5:24-29, I'm not going to read it, but he said, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice, the phonograph.
That's right.
The voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
Amen.
And to emphasize there what voice he's talking about, he said, don't marvel at that, because in the end day, that same voice is going to sound forth, and that same voice, that phonograph, the actual sound of that voice will bring all the dead out of the physical graves.
Yes, sir.
Lost and saved both. Listen, I'm going to put it just as plain so that nobody misunderstands or has a reason to misunderstand what I'm saying. That end resurrection will not take place by gospel preaching. It will take place by the very voice of the Son of God saying to everyone in the graves, lost or saved, elect or reprobate, come alive. Come up.
There you go.
Maybe I shouldn't say come alive, but come up.
Yeah.
And they go, come up. It's that same voice that says to the dead now spiritually, live.
Amen.
Now some point out passages like this. Now turn to one. John 10. This is again Christ's words. John 10:26. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. But wait a minute, does he not know us until we hear his voice? In this meaning, yes. He foreknew us. But here, once we hear, Then he knows us. Now think about that for a moment. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Now, which one's true? What he said in John 17, or what he says here? Oh, really? They're both true? What? Now, do they both mean the same thing? How can they? They're speaking about the same life. But it's not the same thing. What men do is try to make it the same thing, and then they just confound the devil into, I didn't say out of, into everybody.
Yeah.
This is the same life. It's the same life. There's a life you will not experience until you have heard are known, and you follow.
That's right.
And this life has in particular, look, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They'll never quit hearing. They'll never quit knowing. They'll never quit following. It's not just they just won't go to hell. They've made their decision. No, they're never going to quit hearing. They're never going to quit following.
That's right.
They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What they refuse to see. And it's because we refuse to see when we don't see these things. Because they're right here written down for us, even translated into our own language, is the precedent that he said in verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they, who's the they? The sheep.
Yeah.
I am come that they might have life. And you said it, Joe. That's what you said the and was?
Conjunction.
No, you didn't say that. This is a second thing. This is something else that goes along with it. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it, what? More abundantly.
Amen.
In John chapter 10, Christ is talking about the abundant life. The life that is experienced by every sheep once they hear and follow.
Yes, sir.
You see that?
Yeah.
It's right there. The life that's abundant, Joe, is still the same life, but it's called then also on top of itself, abundant life. Isn't that what he says?
Yeah.
I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I know there are those that say that means you're going to have a Cadillac. And if you don't like Cadillacs, you'd have a Ferrari. And you'll have plenty of money. And that's if you really believe. That ain't what he's talking about, abundant life. Abundant life is hearing and following.
Yes, sir.
That's abundant life.
Amen.
To be able to hear and to follow him, that's abundant life.
Amen.
I know. That's more abundant, Joe, than anything. Take my home. It don't matter, but take my hearing. And I'm doomed. Take my following. Don't allow me to follow. See what happens. You know what will happen to you if you don't follow? You'll perish. And it says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Nobody else.
Right.
Hebrews 11 talks about the people of faith. These all died in faith.
That's right.
It's not just, I had faith back yonder. If you had faith back yonder, you will have faith until your last dying breath.
Amen.
And then faith will open up into what? Sight.
Amen. That's it.
Life produces life.
Yes.
Life feeds on life. A young baby comes into existence by milk? By food? How does a young baby exist? How does it live? By God. Not by the mother and the father, because some mothers and fathers can't produce children. Can they? Life comes from God. I don't care whether it's physical or spiritual, whether it's animal, human, or vegetative.
Right.
Vegetable life. Life, all life, comes from God, or there is no life.
Exactly.
But when God gives life, that life is sustained by what? Nutrients.
That's right.
all life is. Is it not?
Yeah.
God's put it before us in unassailable manifestation. He gives life, and then He sustains that life.
Amen.
By life-giving property. And you know what the life-giving property of the people of God is? That sustaining life-giving property is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the initial impartation of eternal life, and that comes from Christ. The initial impartation of eternal life is manifest, always manifest by gospel declaration. That He hath brought life and immortality to light. How? The one and only way. How? Through the gospel. Through the gospel. Some of us talked about this 2 or 3 weeks ago. When Christ said unto Lazarus, and Lazarus was dead. I mean, he was, as Earl used to say, as dead as last year's Christmas tree. That's pretty dead. That's dead. When Christ said to Lazarus, 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 he was alive.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He was alive. But then He told him to do what? Got to put him in the proper place. Come forth.
Amen.
Now, did the stone have to be removed? Yeah. Oh. But that could have been removed before or during, right?
Yeah.
He didn't have to have the stone removed so His voice could get in there.
Oh, that's right.
He had the stone removed so Lazarus could get out.
Yeah, that's right.
But Lazarus couldn't get out with the stone removed until Christ said, Lazarus.
Amen. That's right.
But when Christ said, Lazarus, guess what happened? Lazarus, come forth. He came out. But guess what? He was still bound in his grave clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Could Lazarus live like that? No. He was alive. But he can't live like that. You can't live in grave clothes, David. So what did Christ say to those people around Him? Go loose him. Let him go.
Amen.
Amen. Now folks, that's the way it happens physically or spiritually.
Yes, sir.
That's the way it happens. That's the way it is.
Yep.
That's number two. That's the second unassailable fact. I will not apologize for either one of those.
That's right.
I've said it before. Whether it costs me fellowship, so be it. Here's number three. Knowing sender and sent cannot be separated.
That's right.
Let me get back to John 17. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee. But then He didn't stop there, did He? Now that would have been true enough, Joe. Would it not? Mason, wouldn't that have been true enough? But Christ, even in His own prayer, which would be recorded for our benefit, wanted to put the absolute qualifying factor here, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. That's an unassailable fact. The two cannot be separate, sender and sent. You can't separate them. According to our Lord's own words in John 5, verses 17 through 23, and mainly verse 23, if you dishonor the one sent, you dishonor the sender. Well, I believe in God, but I don't know about all that Jesus stuff. Well, you don't know God. Not the only true and living God.
That's right. That's it. Exactly.
Well, I mean, I believe in Jesus, but I don't know if I believe all that stuff about Jesus. You either take Him as He is or you don't take Him at all. I mean, He is who He is. We don't pick and choose what parts of Him we want and what parts we don't.
You're right.
To dishonor the sent is to dishonor the sender.
Amen.
Secondly, according to our Lord's words to the disciples, John 14, verses 5 through 11, Philip, one of them said, Lord, show us the Father and that'll suffice.
Yeah.
That'll be good. That's all we need. And you know what He told them? Have I been so long with you?
Yeah.
He that's seen Me has seen the Father.
That's it.
Knowing the sent is to know the sender.
That's right.
Amen. That's simple enough. And yet so hated by our Adamic natures.
Yeah.
In light of these three thus far. Now listen to me. In light of these three thus far. Number one, three things here on this third unassailable fact. Eternal life cannot increase in extensity.
Yeah, you're right.
That's its length. Okay? According to Paul in Titus 1, 1 and 2, God promised eternal life before the world began. He says, in hope of eternal life that God promised. And what God promised, He is able to perform.
Amen.
So you can't increase it back that way, because it was whenever God was, and He always was, eternal life's always been promised, David. So it can't increase that way. It can't increase forward. We done read John 10. Those that hear, I know, and they follow, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and nobody's going to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Exactly.
So that you can't increase it that way. Can you? Number two, eternal life does increase in its intensity. It does increase in its intensity. Bless God, one of these days it's going to be far more intense than it is right now.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Is it not?
Yes, sir.
Christ said, I come to give them life, and that they might have it what? More abundantly. And this is not the final end. Aren't you glad?
Amen. Yeah.
Eternal life does, I didn't say can, I said it does, because He said so. I'm come. Did He come? It's settled. Now I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it what? More abundantly. We do, and we shall.
Amen.
Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge. But how are you going to do that? Only through eternal life.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's right.
And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee. And that means today for me just as much as it meant 30-some years ago. Number three, eternal life is never to be considered presumptuously. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, lay hold on eternal life.
Amen.
Now, if eternal life is to know God, then how do you lay hold on eternal life? Learn of Him. Come unto me. Learn of me.
Yes,
learn by Him and learn of Him.
Amen.
You see it? Eternal life is never to be considered presumptuous. Lay hold on it. Don't say, well, I got it and it'll all be okay. Continually, every day, every moment, be reaching out, laying hold by faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lay hold on it. Lay hold on it. Now here's number four. This is the fourth unassailable fact from this text. This knowledge, which is resultant of eternal life, it also produces eternal life too. The knowledge produces eternal life, does it not? They hear, they follow, and I give to them eternal life, but they got to have eternal life before they can even know.
That's right.
Both are true. We don't play one against the other. When you do, you lose.
Exactly.
At best, you lose understanding. You lose peace. You lose joy. This knowledge, which is resultant of eternal life, this knowledge is not ecumenical. That they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. Well, long as a person just believes about God, no, you must believe the only true God and
Amen.
Jesus Christ whom He sent.
Amen.
There are false gods.
Yes, sir.
Whether it be icon or imagination.
Yep. You're right.
If you know them, you'll perish. If you know them only, you have no eternal life.
That's it.
I don't care whether it's an icon or it's whether something you imagine in your own mind. There's a lot of people that imagine things about God in their own mind, the God of the Bible. But David, it ain't true. There are false gods. There are false Christs. Our Lord even warned about that, didn't he? There are false Christs. Paul said there's another Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And another spirit.
Yeah.
Paul said there's another gospel, which really, in fact, ain't another, but it's a perversion of the gospel of Christ.
That's right.
Eternal life is that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
Amen.
All these other things are damning.
Yeah.
You hear what I said? I said they are damning. Well, I believe what I want about God. Long as I believe what I want about Jesus. It don't work that way. Because when God gives you eternal life, that's that you might know thee, the only true God. So if you got eternal life given you sovereignly by the source, you're going to begin to hear the truth of the gospel, and you'll believe that gospel.
Yes, sir.
Always. And once you do begin to believe it, you'll always believe it. You won't be able to get away from it even when you try. Ask Jonah.
Exactly.
Ask John Mark.
Yep.
Ask John Mark. All of us damning. Here's the precedent. Turn to John 10. Or I'm sorry, Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Just one verse. Verse 40. Now remember, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And you can't honor God without honoring the Son. Now look at what he says though. He goes even further than that. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Why? I don't have to believe what you're preaching. Yes, you do. Not because I preach it, but because these are Christ's words.
Amen.
This is the gospel. This is God's truth.
Yes, sir.
And if you receive the men preaching God's truth, you're receiving Christ. And if you're receiving Christ, you're receiving the Father who sent Christ. Isn't that what he says right there?
Yes, sir. Yes.
John says, those who are of the world, who do they hear? They hear the world. Those that are of God, who do they hear? They hear us. And I'm preaching what the us said.
That's it.
The us have wrote down the words. Here it is. I'm preaching that. Now think about that. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Now turn to John 6. You know this. This is familiar. John 6. Remember, sent and sender. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. How many of them?
Yeah.
All of them. All the all.
Yeah.
And they have to be given before they come, because they come because they're given. That's clear. You got to stand up in any court of law that's just. That'll stand up in any court of law that's just. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I will for no reason. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but what? The will of him that sent me.
Amen.
And this is the Father's will which has sent me. So we got no reason to doubt what the will of the Father is if Jesus is true and tells us what the will of the Father is, right?
Exactly.
And this is the will of the Father which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose not one, nothing. But raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. Remember what? See, if God says it twice, you best pick up your ears.
That's right.
This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him. You got to see before you believe. But you got to have eyes to see before you can see. That's just the way it is.
Yes, sir.
Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured and said unto him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then, he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves, no man can come. Now he gets right down to the nitty gritty of it.
Yes, sir.
No man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him.
Yes.
You see, they were still fixated on that bread thing. They never even heard these last few words. Do you get it?
Yeah.
It's just like it went right over their head. They didn't even get it. They went back to the bread thing. And Jesus said, I'm not letting it go at that.
That's right.
No man can come. You can't come.
That's it.
You missed the whole coming part.
Yep.
No man can, but he didn't make it easier. He still told the truth.
That's right.
No man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I, the sender. And I will raise him up the last day, as it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father does what? Comes to me.
Amen.
Now turn to John or Luke, chapter 10. Verse 16. He that heareth you heareth me. That almost sounds like Matthew 10:40, don't it?
Yeah.
It is. But now look at what we read here. He that heareth you heareth me. Well, but I know that, preacher, but it really don't matter if I hear you. If I'm preaching God's truth, you will.
Yep.
Well, look, and he that despiseth you despiseth me.
Yep.
And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. So he covered both sides of the pole.
Yes, sir.
Didn't he? What we would call the positive side and the negative side. And people say things like, or have in the past, that group over there at Sovereign Grace Chapel, they don't really believe the preaching of the gospel is important. That angers me. That angers me because it's a lie. And it's always been a lie. I don't want to leave on that note. But sadly, that's the way it is sometimes. The question is this. You can listen to men preach. You can listen to tapes. You can listen to all these things. Bear with me a moment. And listen, you should. And listen, you must. You hear what I said? Listen, you should. And listen, you must. But my question is this. What is the medium, or that is the instrumentality, that constitutes the gospel declaration?
Yeah.
Now, God willing, I will preach on this the next time I preach. God willing. Preach on it in detail. What is the medium, or the better word, I like the better word, the instrumentality. You'll read Mason, you'll read theologians, you'll hear grace men talk about the instrumentality of the gospel. And rightfully so. But our question is this, what medium or what instrumentality constitutes the gospel declaration? Is it just verbal? Must you hear someone verbally? If so, and you're deaf, physically deaf, you're damned forever. Can it not be communicated in sign language? Sign language is not verbal. It's the very reason you use sign language, because they can't hear the words.
Yeah, exactly.
Can it not be in written form?
Yes, sir.
Is this book not full of gospel messages?
Yes, sir.
And Penny, you and I listened to a preacher this morning. What did he say? A person who truly wants to know and hear the truth can't get it by reading the Bible himself. Did he say that or not, Penny? And that's a grace preacher.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
It's a lie.
I am not your priest.
Exactly.
I am not your prophet. And God knows I ain't your king.
There you go.
And you don't depend upon me. You depend upon God's truth.
Amen.
Now God put me in this place. And you better listen to me when I tell you God's truth.
That's it.
But you're not dependent upon me.
Exactly. That's it. Yes, sir.
Let God be true and every man a liar.
That's right.
So then, here's what it boils down to. Here's what it really boils down to. Do I know the sender and the sent?
Amen.
I'm not here to debate with you, how did you come to know the sender and the sent?
You're right.
Did you listen to printed messages? Or listen. Did you read printed messages, or did you hear the pastor preach on Sunday morning? That's not the question. The question is, when God Almighty communicated to you the truth of His gospel, in whatever medium, in whatever instrumentality it was, did you, by sovereign free act of God, know sender and sent?
Amen.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. There you go.
And I was... Don't say that, well, I ain't never going to listen to something else Walter ever says again. You better listen to me when I tell you the truth of God.
There you go.
Because I speak for God when I stand in this place.
Yes, sir.
You hear me? But when you read a message written by some preacher hundreds of years ago that they copied down, and they have copies of it today, David, and you read that message, if it's the truth of God, you better heed it, just like you do, you hear my voice when I preach from this Bible. It is no less truth and no less food for your soul. Now, this is the normal mode, but it's not the only mode. And that's God's truth.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Elizabeth, that's God's truth. That's just the way it is. Father, as we partake of this table, may it be, Lord, that we truly remember You. We truly remember You. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.